I say you, the person who's listening, if you root yourself and dedicate yourself to a simpler, more intentional path with less distraction, less noise, if you just start, and a year from now, you'll have a whole different set of resolutions that wouldn't occur to you now. I hope you believe that.
That right there was The Temptations with Ball of Confusion. And Chris will tell you more about why he chose that song. It's going to come up later in the episode. I'm glad to be here. It's Brooks, still in Ferry Hill, Portland Parish, Jamaica. This time I'm sitting out on the porch. It's daytime. It's a Saturday. And I was thinking, I'm going to do another show today. I pulled it up. It's called Time for a Resolution. This is episode 97 of 100. So we are counting down not only towards the end of the show, but towards the final days of an incredible man, the Barbell Buddha. You know him, you love him, Mr. Chris Moore. And so what I've done is I have gone back to the clip format. I hope you like the clip format. I'm going to go back to that, because I'm crafting it, I'm practicing it, and I like it, and I hope you like it as well. What I'm going to do is I'm going to also add some context for you here. Maybe you could call it behind-the-scenes information. Maybe you could call it intuition, because I've experienced a lot of what Chris is going to talk about in this episode today. Around the same time that he recorded this, for me, where for him was the day after his birthday, 2015. It was his 35th birthday, and he's coming to us the day after. And he's hanging out in Rob Connor's office, and it's going to get, Chris is going to reflect. He's going to talk about his resolutions, and he's going to do so from a very emotional place. And if you listen carefully, you're going to hear that emotion in his voice. So what I want to do is I want to use the clips, of course, to make some points, because that's what Chris's show was about, help you learn, expand, grow through his work. And that's what this show is about, is to highlight how damn true so much of what this awesome man was saying in his life, how I've heard that truth and I've tried to live by it the best that I can in my own way, as he would have encouraged. And so what I have for us today, I'm going to go through these clips one after the other. And to set this first clip up, I want you to consider the following. It's December, almost towards the end of the month. So it's likely the 27th of December of 2015. He's looking ahead at setting some resolutions for the new year. And even though it isn't the new year for me, and maybe for you, I also want to just say, hey, You can turn your resolve on at any moment, and you can set resolutions. Yes, it is common to do them at the new year, and that is what is partially fueling Chris today. It is the new year for him, and he's looking ahead. But what's also fueling him is that he's back in Memphis, where it all started, the home that he has since moved away from, maybe feeling a little nostalgic, seeking to reconnect with his roots. That always can bring out a lot of emotion. I know it does with me. But if you listen closely, you're going to start to hear that there has been a fracture in Chris at this point. He's been building Barbell Shrugged, and the styles of shows that they do were predominantly the 3 to 5 things that you could do to get your squat up or get your clean up or whatever, get your WOD times down. And you can hear that Chris is, he's reached the end of his desire to talk about those things in that way. He's ready for something different. And although it hasn't happened yet, this is just before the band goes their separate ways. Chris will eventually move to the Netherlands with his family and start Ironheart Studios with Charlotte Miles. And Doug, Mike, they're going to go in a different direction, and they're going to focus on the business expansion of Barbell Shrugged. The podcast is going to continue under the same format, even with new characters, people like Alex Macklin, people like Mike McGoldrick. Chris is now seeing that he is having some creative differences with his team. So even though Barbell Shrugged is still, you'll hear him at towards the end of the episode and through the lens of like he's talking about what he's going to do for Barbell Shrugged, just know that that's not how the story goes. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing, doesn't mean it's a sad thing, but it's not where the story goes. Chris's dream come true, where we are steadily marching, is not that Barbell Shrugged becomes this new storytelling unit. It doesn't go that way. The podcast continues talking about the 3 to 5 things that you can do to get stronger at this and that. Mike and Doug are pushing on the business expansion. CTP's with the podcast guys, and Chris is now about to do something different. So this is the emotion that is fueling this episode is deeply, deeply connected to letting go of things that no longer serve you. All right. So I'm going to get Chris up for his first clip. The heat is turning up. And he's got something he wants to tell us. Take it away, bud.
I mean, you probably have felt it sometime in your life. Sometimes you feel like the heat is turning up on you, you know. It could be like equated to like a furnace of some kind. Like pressure is on you. Expectations might be on you. Probably not from the world without, but from the world within. We're very hard on ourselves. I know I'm very hard on myself. It's something I'm resolving to work on in the year coming up. And I'll get into that, of course. But it's a time where I've had to really kind of test what is real in my life and what is, let's say, flammable. And most of the flammable stuff is all the expectations I had set for myself in the past and pressures and all the things along the way I thought maybe I should be and the things I thought I'd have to be. And part of this winter period for me, I guess, maybe Mike Bledsoe would also agree. It's been a period of of intense reflection and maybe of renunciation. That's a big fancy word, but like of intentionally trying to put down things I thought that were really definitely me and things I had to do and had to fight for, had to say. I mean, one of the things I've thought about over the years with Barbell Shrugged, especially now that we've been on a pause, I can actually look back and think about, you know, of all this wild journey, what is the pattern? And I can see myself at the beginning so raw and so loud and so full of a need to get a point across. And to be honest, it's embarrassing now to see it because I look back and I'm like, man, damn. I had a lot I felt like I needed to say, and I did say it. Sometimes in a good time, sometimes in a bad time, but still, it's here. And then by the end of the 4-year leg of the first part of Barbell Shrugged, I felt myself entering to this intense phase where I was like, man, I don't feel all those same urges. I don't feel this like the same person. I realized that the heat of that show and the circumstances of that show allowed me to make so much personal change. And now we're in a position where like we get to re-kick off a new thing. I get to make some new stuff together with this awesome team. I get to make some new stuff. Actually, right now I'm getting very sentimental maybe because I'm in the original, I guess, Barbell Shrugged studio. This right now, I'm actually set up on my Rode microphone on Rob Connor's desk, chief financial officer, big fancy title, but Rob makes sure that Barbell Shrugged doesn't run out of money so we can keep making the show and all. This is his office now, but if you remember the old episodes of Barbell Shrugged, right? There was a big room that was just chalk everywhere, and we would do chalk markings all over the walls and logo markings and sayings, like coffee, tequila, barbells over here, and I drew my logo over here. I drew Mike's logo that I drew for him over here and chalk. And then behind us, we had all our early catchphrases and stuff. Well, this is that room, you know? And I tried to do this podcast yesterday on my birthday, but the timing wasn't right because this is my birthday, and I was mostly eating chicken tenders and drinking and imbibing and having a good time and spending time with my family. It wasn't quite ready then, but today is the day. I'm here in this awesome room. It's an appropriate place to think about, you know, I'm saying out loud to myself, Chris, really, what do you want for 2016? What do you want to achieve with your team? What do you want to do in the community, you know, this fitness community and beyond? The reach of the show and all the reach we'll gain this year, because we got a plan to reach for and try really hard and try to deliver really extraordinary results to anybody who will listen to us talk. But yeah, but I realized everything I want to do this next coming year, it doesn't start with any like bullshit habit I'm going to put into place. It doesn't start with like saying a big fancy thing I studied and learned about and I'm going to tell you like what I'm going to do. And I'm going to title it on this podcast, like the top five things to get your new year going the way you want. Like, fuck all that shit, man. I want to give you the realest advice I can. Because that's one of my missions in 2016 is extreme realness and connection for Barbell Shrugged. If we've ever done anything, I think it's that we've done realness pretty well. We were and still are just some dudes who like lifting weights. And we're just an awesome chick in the case of Charlotte Miles in London, who's helping us make this awesome show and is every bit a part of a team as me, CTP, Doug, and Mike. Together, we're still just as real as we always were. And we want to do something cool and real and do something that helps people transcend the everyday worry of like, am I big enough, strong enough? Am I fit enough, lean enough for somebody's approval? I want people to break through that and really get the whole message that is strength training, which is personal fucking empowerment, you know? You don't need anything outside of yourself to feel strong. You don't need anything outside of yourself to grant you approval, how you look and how you feel, what you think is important and what you want to make. So yeah, my mission for 2016 is to just embody that.
You can hear in his voice the extreme realness that he was mentioning that he wanted to bring. Oh, he brought it. He brought it. Huge in 2016. I'm reflecting on this story, on Chris's story. And yesterday I sat down to read Chris's book. I'm reading the second half. And the name of the chapter is Double Strength. And it starts like this. The basic story arc has three parts. So what we're going to do is I'm going to use Chris's chapter, Double Strength, to show you where Chris is in his own story arc. The basic story arc has three parts. First, there's the big opening number. The would-be champion and emerging hero decides to hand over everything in pursuit of mastery, the higher quality of life, and the next level of awareness. The effort is far from perfect, but perfect doesn't matter. It's not even a possible thing, so there's no point in fussing over it. Chris's big opening number was Barbell Shrugged. Becoming the driving creative force behind Barbell Shrugged was Chris's opening number. Starting Barbell Buddha, writing books, leaving the job. It's required. It's the big pursuit. And in that first act, it's the thing that you need to take away is that if you're wanting to take that step in the first act, it requires a brutal workload, sweat, patience, sacrifice, an open mind, some heartache, frustration, intensity, a splash of fear and blood, a steady caffeine drip, daily recommitment and calibration, some recurrent joint pain, and countless late nights. It's not all fun, but the pursuit has to be placed at life's center stage or pretty damn close to it. What those guys did was put Barbell Shrugged in their own way at center stage, and they gave it everything that they had. But in the big twist, which begins the second act, the tension is, what do you do when there's nothing left to give? That's what Chris's solitude that he mentioned was about. He's living in Encinitas and in Carlsbad, but you haven't seen him much. Why? Because for him, there was nothing left to give. He was done giving the 3 to 5 top things, or desiring to sound like a guru, sound like someone who knows better. He was leaving that behind. So he says, maybe you've been there. You've almost burned out completely. You're no longer into it. Right there, the inspired and sharp protagonist will choose to seek out something brand new and sharply challenging. Something that is awkward and scary, but with a big potential upside. Something well beyond the expected, comfortable, and safe. My big act was the fitness journey as well. It was to be the next great coach, the Brooks Meadows, inventor of recess, pioneer, king of the industry. I was trying to be something. I got caught, man. He was telling me the whole time, don't get caught trying to be somebody, but I got caught trying to be somebody. And I kept banging my head up against the wall. And even as recently, right now, it is March 18th, 2023. Even as recently as November, December, and early January of last year to start the year, just less than 3 months ago, I was trying to launch a program that was health and fitness oriented, wellness oriented, and become the corporate wellness guy. I took that character, Coach Brooks, as far as I could. Then my father died. I had nothing left to give. And I started looking for the thing that I could do, the something new, with the huge potential upside. And I met Mike Schwartz. And Mike Schwartz and my wife started making music. And then they needed some management help and some structure around their business. And then all of a sudden, I own a record label, co-own a record label. We work with coaches. We teach them how to use artistry to get their message out there. And now I tell stories and help other people tell stories all the time. I podcast. I teach other people how to be more interesting on their podcast. And I have a one-man performance that I'm taking on the road, all because I started applying these principles that I learned studying Chris's life. He said, catch yourself wishing, never make excuses, commit fully and do whatever is required if you really want to do something special. Buy in. Don't just pretend. There's no time for that shit. The twist is that you might not get anywhere close to mastery if you keep pushing in the same direction forever. And that's what I found. It hit me. I had to do something different. If I wanted different, I had to do something different. And I now understand what he means to a deeper degree when he was talking about not trying to be something. I used to mute and censor myself around depending on who I was with, because I didn't want to give the wrong impression, or I didn't want to make somebody feel uncomfortable. And like Chris said, man, fuck all that. I've never been in a position where I care less about what other people think about my work than I ever have in my entire life. And the work is better than it's ever been. It's more compelling than it's ever been. And I'm doing it just to give. Why? Because that's what Chris will talk about and teach us in this episode. That's why. But there's a third act. Chris says the third act is the dramatic return, but don't call it a comeback. That's not what's really going on. The new hero doesn't come back to the same thing as the same person. It's more of a rediscovery. The departure, the letting go, is actually the very best way to gain new insights. You see the thing in a brand new light. from a higher perspective. The space provides context and insight into past missteps. You notice opportunities that were left on the vine. Better still, you will get a very clear view of your true strengths and your unique genius. That's when the real productivity and impact will begin. As Baltazar Gracian wrote over 300 years ago, the key is to, quote, identify your key attributes and apply it in double strength. Work relentlessly, passionately, openly to combine all of your experience with a new appreciation of your uniqueness. Do that, and nothing will stop your flow. Identify your king of attributes and apply it in double strength. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm committed to. Those are my resolutions, is to identify those strengths and to apply them double time. Tell more stories, get people more excited, censor myself less, go all the way. That is the resolution that we're taking on. That is the energy that we must use in order to break through the am I enough? Am I enough to do this? That can be a hard thing to break. But Chris is going to talk about it and give us a little insight here.
I'm reading a lot about how to just change yourself. Not just like habits and fucking life hacks and shit, but really in moments where I myself have felt doubt about what we could achieve and doubts and fears about what my capabilities were and whether what I was making was good enough and all this shit, all this silliness. We all feel that. Everybody feels that when they sit down and make something. Is this good enough? Am I enough for this thing? I realized the only way to break through that shit for good was to really embody the changes I wanted to make and really put myself to the test first. Before I asked anything of my team, before I asked anything of an audience that would be so kind as to listen to me for a few minutes, before I did any of that shit, I really needed to make a full effort, like to really embed some deep fundamental changes. And that would be my 2016 mission. That's why I've been a little silent, because I've been spending a lot of time in my garage in Carlsbad, in the Encinitas area, right there by La Casa Lagoon. A beautiful spot. I'm so proud to be there, but it's been a silent place and a place for me to really think about what I wanted, you know?
What does it really mean to embody something? I've thought about this at length, and I imagine there's plenty of interpretations to go around, so here's mine. To embody something is simply to be it. You be it by mostly doing it. So if you want to be a fit person, you do what a fit person does, and then you'll be it. If not tomorrow, over time. You do something enough, you become that thing, which is why it's very pertinent to look and scrutinize and refine the types of things that you do, because it impacts who you become. You become. You be that thing. It's the be to come. Get it? So if we're going to get the change, if we're going to break through the I am I enough, there's only one way to find out, and that's to do it. When I wrote The King Says Yes, I knew the lesson. My dear friend, Mr. Kyle Gray, I asked him a simple question. He's a storytelling coach and helps people tell amazing presentations. And I asked him, Kyle, hey, Kyle, what's the one thing you tell all of your clients? And he said, if you're going to go through the process, if you're going to give the effort of delivering a good story, make sure you deliver a good lesson. And in that instant, I knew what the lesson was. It was to say yes to your greatest potential, to the things that you are fully alive when you do. You say yes to those things and magic in your life will happen. But see, the thing is I had lost a lot of that spirit. I was telling people about it, and I was holed up in Memphis, Tennessee, feeling broke, feeling down, no gym anymore. And I wasn't saying yes. And it took me a while. I kept trying on the same costume, Coach Brooks, maybe this time just a little costume change, just a slight costume change. We're going to keep this same character, but if I put on a different costume, maybe people will like this character. And then I had to change characters. I had to allow that character to move on. I had to do something different. And I had to embody with my actions the same things that I would invite people to do in their lives. And that's to say yes to their highest expression, to say yes to their art, to say yes to the things that they love, and to do them more often. And so I chose to make a big, bold action, as Chris told me it would take, get the squad down to Jamaica, come down here for one reason, get here and find out why you're really here. We're meeting people, making connections, things that I never dreamed possible, you guys. And I don't know if they're going to come to fruition. I can't know. All that I can do is allow this new side of me to full on, to go in double strength, tell more stories, bring more excitement, and the rest will take care of itself. We still got some more clips. Chris has got he's still got the big lesson. We haven't even gotten to the big lesson, but I know you're feeling it. I'm feeling it. What Chris is personally committed to is his resolution of what he calls the threefold path. So I'm going to use this quick clip to set up the threefold path, and then we'll get to the full meat of this conversation.
Think about what you want. I've said that a lot in the past podcasts, early on about meditation. I'll talk a little bit about that. And then about 2 months ago, a lot about silence, and I'll get more into that. But that has led me to this point, which was the culmination of those lessons into a whittled down, fire tested, threefold little path I want to try to take in the next year. So that's my mission. It is a threefold path. It's very simple. Not quite as fancy as Siddhartha's eightfold path, but I'll reference Siddhartha in a minute.
So Chris is about to teach us his threefold path to making that big change that you want to see for him and for you in an effort to create and execute on your resolutions. This is how you can find the resolve, the strength to actually see it through. And he's going to go through all three of those things. And the best part is we get an epic Chris Moore rant, y'all. In this next clip that I'm going to pull up here in a second, he's going to go off. He's going to be on for like 10 minutes at least. But it's so awesome, I wanted to keep the whole thing. So he's going to get into his first fold of the threefold path. And this one's about training your attention. See you on the other side.
The first thing that I'm personally committed to for 2016 is really training my focus and attention. For fuck's sake. My wife will tell you, my team will tell you, the gods above will tell you, anybody who's ever met me will tell you, my ADD comes through a little bit, I'm a little bit wild, hard to control. I can't remember shit. I don't know where I put my car keys half the time. I'm sorry for everybody who gets aggravated by that. I'm even harder to get a hold of now because I don't have a cell phone. My iPhone broke. If you try to email me, I got back to you. Tweets and social media and all that. But as far as Instagram and phone calls and text messages, you probably, if you're pissed at me because you can't get a hold of me, that's why, man. I lost my fucking iPhone. Sorry. But anyway, one event that actually helped change a lot of that, got me thinking differently for 2016, was I went to Wim Hof's and Brian McKenzie's breathing seminar a couple months ago at BMAX Gym in SoCal. Brian, hey, man, thank you for that invite again, and thanks to Wim Hof. Wim Hof's a bad motherfucker, man. You meet him, sorry for coughing on mic, but you meet him and 5 minutes later realize he's just here to share a message, and he wants to bail. He's wearing a t-shirt and no shoes and cheap shorts. He wants to share the message of breath control, and he wants to bail and teach somebody else. So I thought it was a really powerful experience. Brian's throwing another breathing camp here very soon. I recommend you check it out if you're in SoCal, or look up Wim and Brian's breathing stuff online. It's really great. But let me summarize an experience I had. That's the first time at his camp that I tried, diligent breath control as a ritual, as like a physical practice, as something that is as important as you would do with a barbell or anything else. People, the big thing I'm learning as I get older is that people put all this focus on what they eat and what they drive and wear and how they train. If you're in a CrossFit space, people put a lot of focus on how they train and all. that like the program, all the gear and swag and the build up immensely leading up to it. But you know what's weird, man? I've said this before, but I'm really taking it on as a real point of focus. What's really weird is that people put no effort on training their mind, man. None. And why do I say that? You might meditate, you might find quiet moments, you might have a drink and settle your mind, but settling your mind for a minute and being able to sit with yourself in silence for an hour and really contemplate what you want and connect with yourself and go out in the world and act and do your work and train rep by rep, you know, report by report or creative thing by creative thing, to be able to sit down and give yourself fully with a focused mind to those tasks without getting distracted by like some voice saying you're not good enough or some voice saying, aren't you stupid for doing this or you should be doing something else or you're late on the next thing. What about that thing? You know, all that, man, I fight that. Every human being has to fight that. That is evidence of a mind that is not trained. Unfortunately, it's sad to say, but an untrained mind. And I deal with that all the time. Everybody has to deal with that. So I'm committed to fighting that. And the first time I got around that in a way I thought was really real, when I tried Wim Hof's breathing method. So just a quick summary. I recommend you look it up. But that breathing technique is, I'll tell you what I do. You can look it up and get all the other detail. But basically, I get up every morning. First thing I do, cup of coffee, I hit the ground, flat on my back. And I get into a little bit of it's a calm state. It takes about maybe 1 minute to settle into the floor a little bit and relax my muscles. And I start four rounds of breathing. And each round of breathing consists of 30 deep belly breaths. So you pull on your belly and you let it kind of fall out and you kind of cycle back through. I'd say 30, but usually when I feel like I got a good breath cycle, like a good rhythm, like I'm getting a good amount of air in and out of my lungs, usually goes about 30 or 40 breaths. Then I stop, and on the last inhale, I exhale, just to where no air is trying to force its way out. I relax, and I just hold my breath basically there and try to, here's a key bit. Here's all you're trying to do in any meditation exercise, right? This is the only thing that matters. Not all the techniques or the things you might try not to think about. All that matters is like condensing your focus and your attention into just one little tiny dot. Just think about just one little tiny dot, like silence the senses, silence the world. The cool thing about this breathing technique is that, especially by the fourth round, your ability to hold your breath extends. You're scrubbing off CO2, you're relaxing pretty profoundly, your need for fuel is going down. The activity of your mind's kind of silencing, the activity of your core nervous system's kind of coming up under the stress of reduced oxygen. It's kind of cool, I recommend you try it. When I lay down in the morning, I'm a little bit stressed, anxious for the day, maybe I could hold my breath for 30 seconds. Recently, by the fourth round, I've been able to hold my breath for about 3 minutes and 30 seconds, which is pretty extraordinary. And when I get up from that session, or I roll over and start just a little morning, like focus on what I want to achieve for the day, a little brief meditation on what I want to get done. The cool thing is that you feel profoundly at ease. It feels like at the end of a float tank session, that aligned, calm, very, very focused, at ease feeling. It feels like that. It feels like maybe you feel after you smoked a gigantic pink indica taco, whatever you want to call it, man. Like it gives you that deep intrinsic reset. And it's kind of trippy because, you know, even though we talk about meditation a lot, Mike has, I have, it's been something that's been important. But in all fairness, up until the end of this year, maybe I was posing, maybe he was posing, maybe we really didn't get the full power of it because we were still sucked into trying tactics or looking at what other people did, listening to little mantras and listening to little things you get online, little sayings and little leadings, like people trying to tell you how to do it. And anytime anybody's pointing a finger at something, the risk you're making is trying to look where the finger's pointing instead of just kind of like, or look at the finger, sorry. The finger's pointing, you look at the finger instead of trying to get a sense of where the finger is pointing. So in this sense, everybody's usually guilty of, when it comes to meditation, trying a tactic or an app, or let me read the thing, tell me how to do it. That's like somebody trying to tell you how to go to church and tell you what's important about blues music, tell you what makes good art. You can't put a name on the thing that's really important about it. You know, you just need to experience it for yourself. And I'd been in calm states, I've been in more focused states, but I never had really gotten to that single point of state before I tried this. And since I've been sort of riffing on it and trying, you know, remixing it, I've even at this point stopped counting. I just breathe and breathe and breathe till I feel like I'm kind of charged. And then I exhale and I hold my breath and I don't really care even how long I do it. I don't try to think about anything. That's the point. So my first actual resolution for 2016, cut this story short, is that what I want to do, and I'm taking Siddhartha's advice on this, because I just read a little passage from this little text. Siddhartha, of course, was the Buddha. He said something very practical in terms of the importance of breath control, and just daily meditation. Meditation, you can think of it only as the time where you're focusing on taking your focus and putting it where you want it. Like you would try to put your attention on a barbell. Like you would try to put your attention on making a brownie if you're cooking a treat for yourself or cooking dinner for your family. Or like you try to put your attention on your kid if you're at the end of the day and trying to tell them a story. All it is you get up first thing, and because yourself should be the most important thing in your life, you give yourself priority in the morning in the silence of the early day, preferably before the sun even comes up. I'm in there in quiet, and I try to focus my mind as much as I can. And Siddhartha called it like you can imagine an archer drawing an arrow back, putting his focus right where he wanted to strike the arrow, and letting that arrow fly, boom, right to a bullseye. That's what you're trying to do when you're training your mind to have a thought. You're trying to think about what you want to think about, not what you don't want to think about, like fears and doubts and previous or future obligations and other people's expectations of you. What you're trying to do is say, right, there's something that's important to me right now. I want to do this right now. I want to put every thought I have on this one thing and draw that thought back as deeply and tightly as I can and let it launch right into the thing I want to see done, right? And you have to get up with that intent like it is the most important thing to you. If you can design your whole life around going to the gym in order to make your snatch bigger, not your squat or your deadlift, your bench, or you want to get bigger arms, you want to lose weight and be sexy for your wedding or whatever it is, you know, you build your life around that, but you won't build your life around yourself. That's the main problem people have. That was my main problem for a long time. If you can't get up in the morning and start the day on your terms in silence, the way you want, you might want to read. You might want to play video games for 15 minutes. Maybe that's your yoga. That's your way of quieting your mind. Maybe that's your meditation after you do something like the breathing. In my case, I read a little bit after I do my breathing. That seems to be my yoga. That enables me to have a lot more productive thoughts later in the day, and empowers me with new ideas, and it just sets my mind at ease. It calms my ADD symptoms. It's everything to me. You can have that too. Like I think Doug has that with jiu-jitsu. Mike has that with his weird Mike behaviors. No, I'm joking, Mike. Certainly with his running and his training. I mean, we have these core things we do that are so important. And the older we get, the more we realize that nothing else matters really except that thing. Because if you don't root yourself every fucking day in something that's really important to you, then you are like a plant who literally is digging up its own roots every day. You wake up and you see a phone and you check messages and you run out the door without doing what's important to you. You start the day on someone else's terms. Basically, you start rushed. You let your mind get splashed in like a puddle and muddied like a muddy puddle. And then you expect calmness and focus when it matters, when you have to train, when you have to talk to somebody you love, when you got to do a thing at school or say a thing. Like, how can it be possible? You can't. Now that I'm 35 and all wise and shit, I just want to reiterate, if you cannot come to terms with yourself and connect with yourself, you have nothing. I don't care how strong you get or how sexy you think you are. A lot of people will think they're very sexy and strong and very successful, and you are. But the whole point is I'd want you to connect with yourself enough to realize that now before it gets to a point where you lose that when you're 40 or 50 or 60, which is happening. It will happen. It happens to everybody. The body is the body. It'll fade a little bit. But if you can't connect with yourself now, you won't be able to do it then. You only have regret then. It's part of the mission. I'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, the first real mission I want for myself is like, I want that focus. I want to be able to focus my thoughts, which is really hard. It's like the biggest thing I've ever tried to take on. It's also the simplest. But I'll do it because I've found this way of like getting my intent focused, this little breath trick. And again, I want to thank Brown. I want to thank Wim for showing me. Because once you're shown, once you feel it for yourself, you got it. And then you can take it, focus it, and refine it, and experiment with it in your life and make it more and more potent, make it more and more real. The only thing you have to do, and this is where everybody fucks up, this was probably where you'll fuck up too, is that you'll start connecting with yourself a little bit. You'll make a habit of it. But then the battle of life will come back into the fold, and then something will pop up in the morning. Some stress, somebody be barking at you. Some kid will want something. They want something from me every morning. You'll need to do something for your wife, which I should do way more of. I should serve my wife way more than I do. I try to do as much as I can. But there'll be something like in your face, right? Some real distraction. Some real test. If you've seen Star Wars, The Force Awakens with Jesus Christ, that's an amazing movie. I felt like I was 10 watching it. But at one point, the Dark Lord, I forget his name. Is it somebody's going to call me out on it. But my memory's not so good on names. But he talks to the bad guy. He says, you've done a lot of tough guy things. I'm paraphrasing now. You faced a lot of challenges. But the challenge you've got coming up, the challenge of facing your heart and your family, the real test, Mr. Wannabe Bad Guy, is whether you can overcome that and keep up your fight. Well, in your real world scenario, when your boss comes calling at 6, 7, 8 a.m., you see those emails coming in, or when you wake up with anxiety because of the thing you know you got to do, or dog's barking in whatever way it's barking, will you then drop everything and lay down on the floor and breathe for yourself and fuel your body and scrub off the stress and empower yourself for the day? Will you do that or won't you? My task for 2016 is to do that every morning. I think if I can root myself deeply, then no matter what comes, this is one of those Charlie Munger principle ideas, no matter what comes my way, good or bad, no matter what I experience, success or failure, no matter how embarrassed or exalted I might get in 2016, I'll have the roots, right? I'll have my roots, and when the sun shines and when it gets stormy, I won't go anywhere. I'll be stable and I'll feel just fine. I'll be able to keep up my work. And every other habit that I would start now will come into play automatically if I can keep rooted.
Part of what made Chris's show so impactful on my life was that when I found it, I was coupling that practice with the Wim Hof breathing that he's described in that clip. My morning routine back then was to make my French press, sit down, do a couple of rounds of breathing, and then let Chris play in my ears for as long as I had that morning. And it was those small actions that kicked off this whole new chapter in my life. And so I personally have felt the power of Wim Hof breathing, of that tremendous sense of presence, or that tremendous sense of connection to the greater sense of what I'm here to do, the people around me, how we're all connected, how even Chris is connected to me, and how we're all connected to each other through this platform called podcasting. He understood that. And so, you know, years now I've gotten the opportunity to practice with this Wim Hof method, to know Wim Hof master instructors, to see so many different iterations of this breathing with Brian McKenzie having his own thing, and people like Laird Hamilton starting their own thing and bringing their own spin and interpretation to it. And Chris is, you know, as always, you know, damn right about the need to be able to use these things to bring our awareness back to ourselves enough where we commit to putting ourselves first right out of the gate in the morning. The reason that these practices are so valuable is they create and cultivate the awareness that we need, the perspective that we need to understand why that time to ourselves is so important. It is so easy for the world to pile up on you, expectations to pile up on you, the need to impress or the need to be flashy or the need to just get an email out so you feel like you're doing the right amount of work. Those types of intrusive thoughts that continue to bore their way into our brain. And so Chris's, you know, one pillar of his threefold path is to train attention. And it's not just willy-nilly to be, you know, better memory guy or high-end performance guy. It's to really cultivate that sense of who we are, why our life here is so significant, why it's so precious. And so I learned things like that from him. Likely was doing the breathing because Barbell Shrugged had introduced the Wim Hof method in some fashion. No doubt about it. He mentioned quality, which sets up the next clip, which Chris is going to talk about his second fold. And then when we return, we're going to talk about the quality of my work, the quality moment that I had when also reading the Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. And if you recall, Chris has just reread Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance for the second time, this time with a fresh perspective and a lot more context. And now he's put quality as a centerpiece in his pillars. And I will catch up with you after this clip.
The second thing, I've already hinted at it. I could probably get through this a lot quicker now that I've done a lot about it. Now that I've got that attention, right, I do my morning ritual. What was the second thing I wanted to accomplish? I wanted to fire my arrows better. I've tried to do so much in my life to date, and maybe 10% of it was really successful, and a lot of it was a lot of practice. It was things that were reminding me on what's important and how to simplify and how to get my focus down in training and connecting with friends and family, also with my creative work, the things I do for Barbell Shrug, the things I try to say on things like this, the writing I do, the speaking I want to do and the connections I want to make, all the real shit I want to do, right? I want to fire these arrows with more accuracy. I want to spend less time doing less things. But that one thing I achieve after I do my morning meditation, that one thing I got my eye on, that one big first arrow I want to fire every day, I want it to be a big time effective thing. Whether it's connecting with a person who I want to connect with, because if that connection happens, then all the work that needs to get done from there automatically will just happen. Or the big thing I want to write, or the big challenge I'm facing, I want to get right at that thing. And if I can deliver my thoughts and my intent and my focus and my will at it with everything I got, then I don't have to worry about the result. Like one cool thing I got marked on my paper here was a reminder. Alan Watts has this like awesome thing. he teaches so awesomely with parables, but one of the things he says is anytime you're trying to fix the world or you're worried about the world outside of yourself, you got to realize this very squiggly. Again, I'm paraphrasing Alan, sorry. You're dead and gone. You won't listen and critique me, but still I'm apologizing anyway. The world is very squiggly and hard to flatten out and hard to make sense of and hard to make stable. It's always going to change and pulse dynamically all the time. And any effort you take, you know, work-wise or creatively, anything you might do yourself, and you want to aim at the world in order to fix something or to prove a point or to become good enough in order to be seen by that world as something separate and stable, whatever you want to do, man, you got to realize that that from the beginning is not philosophically, it's not going to have success, because no matter how much you do that, the world is going to be the world and you're still going to feel like you hadn't accomplished much in the face of so much that could be accomplished. So there's nothing that you need to fix with your effort. I got to tell myself this all the time, Chris. There's nothing like wrong with what you wrote before. And there's nothing you need to try to write for now. There's no magical podcast to try to prove a point with. There's nothing to try to prove at all, really. There's nothing to worry about. There's no result, I guess is the more accurate and concise way of saying this. For the second big point, I want to fire my arrows and not worry about any result that might come from my efforts. Because anytime you are worried about the result that comes from your efforts, you're in for disappointment. Like, for example, Doug says this very well, and I want to, you know, reference him appropriately on it because it's a very good way of saying it. He says, you have control over going to the gym and training hard, but you don't have control over the adaptations that you might get stronger, you might not. All you can do is keep setting the conditions for success, and eventually you have faith that the success will come, right? Well, I would take that even and port it over into everything. Where I've had personal trials and tribulations has been where I put too much pressure on the outcome of a thing. I want to say too much. I want to get too much of a point across. I wanted to try to be something in order for a certain effect to come through. And I realize anytime you do that, it's foolish. It doesn't work. I'll bring up a point about flow and also bring up a point about quality because I think they're pretty linked. Lately, I've been studying quality as if it were just a central, like, religious, spiritual idea that I need to live my life by. Quality is the thing that happens that you recognize. It's what the Tao is. It's what the Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, if you've read that book, it's what it speaks to. There's a certain thing that we can all aspire to, and I'll explain that simply like this. And this is what I want to pursue with my arrows in 2016. When you stare at a sunset, no one has the talk to you or explain to you why it's cool, right? There's something to it that's just inherently beautiful. You see a tree, you see a flower, it's beautiful, right? Why? No one has to tell you why, it just is. The same thing is true when you hear the fucking Temptations play Ball of Confusion, when you see an epic Cirque du Soleil performance or something, when you see awesome art, when you hear an awesome record, when you see a great sculpture, when a great podcast or a great book is in your hands, it just feels like the right thing, right? There's a quality to it. And you can't really say what the quality is. You just know that somebody put a fucking lot of care and intent, and they really crafted and worked at the thing with all their focus and all their heart. They really put everything into it to make it as close to what, I don't know, a sunset could be as possible. Because probably they looked at a sunset, got inspired, and tried to mimic the feeling. They got as close as they could. And the opposite of quality is true. Anything in the world without quality, how do you know it? You know it right when you see it. It's cheap shit at Walmart. It's shitty copycat suburbs with no trees. You know, it's shitty elevator music. It's things that were made as efficiently as possible. Things without focus, without intent, without quality. Somebody just want to make a quick buck and move on. They wanted to systemize it. They wanted to pump it out. They wanted to stamp it. They want to make it easy to reproduce. That's what the fucking radio is filled with. That's what social media is filled with. That's what the fucking fitness industry is filled with. That's what actually I see and I despise sometimes. Not all the time, but anytime a quick, stupid thing is put up, I mean, I've even personally made this deep error. Anytime I've done anything where I tried to get a result before I thought about really what the need was and really what the personal reward should have been, I got into trouble. People get into trouble with us all the time. Anytime you're trying to go for a personal reward over just a thing that is right and good, it's always going to get tricky. So what I want, my second big profound thing I need to work on, a simple thing, but such a hard thing to master, is putting quality in everything I do. I'm going to wake up, I'm going to breathe, I'm going to reroute myself, and I'm going to think about the one next thing that I really need to achieve. Then I put my razor sharp, hopefully, I'm working on it, put that arrow sharp focus on that thing and give it all my focus. Because guess what? When you give something all your focus and you don't worry about the result or the outcome, that's actually the conditions for flow. If you read The Rise of Superman, the whole point of that book is that extreme sports are so special because you can slip into flow automatically. Because if you don't focus with everything you got, guess what? You die. If you're in a bodysuit and you're zooming down a mountain because your body surfing on the wind, you know, you're, what the fuck they call that shit? Like skydiving next to a mountain, or you're skydiving actually, or you're extreme snowboarding, or you're doing anything dangerous, you have to be focused. And because you're focused, not worried about how good am I skydiving or skateboarding, you experience intense, self-rewarding, you call it flow. I would call it just the yoga state, the not worrying state, the I'm just expressing a skill and having fun with it state, right? And the whole secret is if you can learn how to focus that much in the gym, guess what happens in the gym? It's not this thing where you're trying to see how strong you are or how good you are. You're just having fun and it's deeply rewarding. And when it's deeply rewarding, you give it all your focus, you get your result anyway. So that's what I want to achieve as my second big thing for my time at work, my time podcasting and my time writing, my time with Max and Maywa kids, especially more and more time with my wife. I want the outcome to be high quality. And I know if I get the high quality outcome as that second big thing, I don't have to worry about the results. Everything will follow from that, right?
Mastery is no low budget item. It's not a matter of good fortune or gifts. You don't scoop it up in a 2-for-1 bargain bundle at the local department store. You really do have to dig for it, baby. You have to search out the supply and pay full price. The absolute premium. That little excerpt is also from Double Strength. I saved it earlier because I thought it fit here better. Chris is the person who introduced me to the book, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and the author, Robert Persig. And I remember having the mind fracture moment around quality, very similar to Chris. The moment that I understood the point of the book, you could say, and there are many points, and to even attempt to try to describe it here on the podcast will fall short, but I will give you my biggest takeaway from that book. The outer quality of anything made will be a direct reflection of the inner quality of the person making it. So if the inner quality of the person making it is timid, afraid, or trying to catch a quick buck, the outer quality of the thing that they put out will reflect that quality. That's what Chris is understanding. He's going so real. The reason he's focused on extreme realness is because he understands that that inner quality will reflect in his work. You could see it when he was doing Full Depth. The way that he and Charlotte and CTP capture that, it captured so much realness because it was real, because they were bringing out the real side of things. So you got to feel the quality of that work. And there are times in my life where I've given the best quality that I had available, but still I was influenced by the outside perception. And I was hoping that it would be liked when I brought it out. So that inner quality was reflected in the work. And I imagine that was received by other people. Like I mentioned before in the show, this is the least I've cared about anyone's opinion about my work. It's the most intensity and focus and quality that I've ever put into my work. I'm having the daily motions and movements that are big things from small actions to find that right best domino to knock over. That is what quality is, finding the best possible way, the minimum effective dose of expressing the need, the quality, the action that is necessary to bring your goals into life. That's two of the three folds. We're going to get to the third one. I'm going to allow Chris to tell you the third fold of the threefold path and what he's using to solidify his resolutions here for 2016. But before we do that, I just want to say it's been wonderful catching up with you. It's been wonderful to be able to share this ride with you. And we're not done yet. We're not done yet, but we are getting close. And I am also feeling very reflective. When I started this show, I couldn't have imagined that this is where I would be broadcasting from, that I would be able to tell stories for a living. And yet here I am. And I cannot emphasize enough how much I believe that many of the outcomes that I'm experiencing now are because I've taken to heart many of the lessons that Chris has put forward in his work. So that will be it for me this week. What I'm going to do is pass it back. We're going to get the third and final fold, and then he will close the show like only he can. See you next week.
And I had one more thing to say. The third thing, third part of my resolution. And then I'll keep it a little bit short. Half hour is enough to be talking. A calm mind is empowered. Thoughts fired with razor sharp arrow accuracy are effective, and you never have to worry about the result. And it's also really rewarding to be so calm. I've had glimpses of that, and I'd want to just master it more. But it's still not the biggest part of the mission. The third part of what I want to do next year, I'm going to try my best to do it. It's a hard thing. It brings on a lot of stress and trial and tribulation. But really, what I want for myself in 2016, what I want my Barbell Shrug team to aspire to, is really to commit not only to delivering people awesome results, like if we can pull off what we got planned, I want everybody who listens to what we make, I want them to get very inspired and have something they can take right then and apply in their lives to get better results, to get stronger, to build better habits, to get more deeply rooted in something real, to really become better. But the other part I want us all to strive for is service, is selfless action. Something where the results don't really matter. We're not trying to go for anything. What we want to offer is something more than just like advice on how to be fit and strong, right? We want more depth than that. I told you about the way a lot of people feel. I feel, because I've only felt it myself, a lot of people who spend so much time lifting and coaching and trying to work to extreme levels of perfection, the sad part is there's a lot of confusion and burden piles up. People who are new to this game are trying to find their way and trying to meet people and connect with people and trying to find the best way of doing something. It's really fucking hard because there's so much you could do. The world, as the Temptations would say, the world turns into a big ball of confusion. But then there are people who've been around for a long time, and they've achieved a lot. And they've contributed so much, and they've lifted so much, and they've done so much for others, themselves. Maybe they're still ruled by what they think they should grow into and become, the things they still think they need to prove or achieve. And then the ultimate outcome is they don't feel very strong, they don't feel very fit, and that's a shame. I know how deeply of a shame it is because I felt that a bunch in my past. And I've tried my best to kind of get rid of it. And I want the efforts of Barbell Shrug to go out there and to serve as like a sword to cut through all that confusion. What do I want to achieve? Well, you're going to see, I'll give you a little sneak peek. And I know my team is going to rally around to do this. One of the shows we're going to do is going to deliver as much powerful value to people as possible because we want people to be strong and empowered. We want to become better athletes and coaches. And that's going to be a big time goal. But the other goal is really something different. we've scratched at it a little bit. We've drawn up a little bit. And we've had shows of guys like Travis Mash. We've done things like our Sweden trip. And we've done a little documentary type stuff. But there's a whole other arm of what I want to achieve. And that is service. What is service to us? It's going to be all about connecting more and more ideas, empowering people, You know, serve in the clear confusion, illuminate new paths, eliminate people's fears, inspire compassion and understanding. How we're going to do that? We're going to do shows where we take on those topics. You know, I want to start with real problems people are facing, like the confusions they feel in the gym, the fears they have to overtake in their lives, the challenges everybody has to face and feeling good enough and strong enough to, things like fear are really, really terribly hard to take on sometimes. But you know what we can do? All right, I got one planned. I want to get with people who themselves are athletes who have felt that fear, and we can communicate with them and showcase in a podcast what that fear is about and how to overtake it, for example. We'll connect their experience with your experience and show you a path forward, a way that somebody you look up to and you've heard of, how they overcame a fear or feeling or a condition that you or have experienced. We make a connection with what they had done and what you could do to take what we gave you previously that empowered you, gave you some knowledge, but now give you an understanding of how to actually face what you face and how to emerge as the hero of your story. So to me, that's like my whole mission for 2016 ultimately ends up in service. Not like, I don't want to make it sound like an exalted, fancy thing, man. It's not really. It's just like, of all the things I could do, I want to make sure that our efforts go to help the community as much as possible. We are so blessed. I want to just say it out loud because it's a time of year to being for being thankful and then looking forward to more. But before we do that, I got to be thankful for the audience, for you listening to me now, for the audience who's followed us for 4 years, to my teammates who've put up with my shit and our shit for 4 years and have gotten us to this point. For everything we're going to do this year, I'm thankful, man. And I wanted to do a podcast that really meant something to me and was really, really honest. If it's this might be rambling, it might be silly, but this shit is fucking as honest as I can make it. I want us to do something really special in 2016. It's not going to be, and I say me, and I say you, the person who's listening. If you root yourself and dedicate yourself to a simpler, more intentional path with less distraction, less noise, if you just start, and a year from now, you'll have a whole different set of resolutions that wouldn't occur to you now. I hope you believe that. But right now is a chance to say thank you and a chance to for me to say to my team, we're going to do awesome stuff and we're going to serve and connect and build up this community, the people in this world who love strength and want to get stronger. Not only want to like prove it in the gym, but want to feel strong. And because they feel strong, they want to do something special. I wanted this message to be all about that. I wanted to tell you that I'm fully committed to making that a reality. It's not going to be perfect in 2016. We don't have like endless money and endless resource. We're just like 4 or 5 people with a great team of 25 or so, or 20 other people or so, make us a team. We're like 26 in total, but we're not an unlimited squad, but we have a big ambition. We want to really serve the whole audience and the whole world in the best way we can. And it's going to start in a very clumsy, silly little way with dick jokes and podcasts about strength. But I hope you'll notice that we're working up towards something. We're not going to stop until we get there. And I think we will get there. And because of it, the world will be truly a much stronger place. And I want to say thank you, man. So I'm looking forward to an awesome, awesome 2016. That starts pretty much today. Starts the next week or so. We're hard at work, and I want you to get to it, too. So with that, I'll play you out with the last little bit of Ball of Confusion. I think it's fucking epic. God, it's so epic. But I'll play you out with that, and I want to wish you a really awesome New Year's. I want to say the Barbell Shrug team, we'll all be seeing you very, very soon. Take care, folks. Cheers.